recognition of this can actually be pretty freeing, right? I don't have to keep hitting my head against that same brick wall all the time and going, why? What is the deal? Why do people don't care about this? And this recognition that, you know, they just don't care. And they don't care because they're not sharing the gospel at home. So certainly they're not going to be sharing internationally, right? The gospel just hasn't gone from head to heart. And maybe I don't have to beat my head against that wall so much, because I'm telling people about this all the time, people that just don't care about it, right? It actually can be kind of freeing. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy to remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Show. My name is Mike Falkenstein, president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst, and I am so glad that you are joining us today, joining me today for what is actually going to be a little bit different episode. So a couple of notes at first. Of course, to learn more about what we do at 1-8 Catalyst, be sure to go to our website at 1-8catalyst.org. And of course, as always, if you like this content, be sure to share it with friends. Be sure to subscribe to the channel, because obviously we think we're doing some good things here and we'd love to share it with others. And yeah, once we have, you know, more subscribers, then we can do more content, and you guys know how all that works. So anyway, I am so glad that you're with me, and I've got a little bit different, as I mentioned, I've got a little bit different episode today. You know, generally at 1-8 Catalyst, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is helping Christians grow spiritually, because we believe that Christians that are growing spiritually want to reach their world for Christ. And so over the last, what has it been, 6 or 7 years, you know, we've really been focusing more and more on creating these resources and delivering this training. After a long history of ministry in China, God really led us towards something new, something else. Of course, the something else being all of these resources and training, which again, you can learn about when you go to our website at 1acatalyst.org. And in the process of this, really the genesis of what we do now at 1A Catalyst came from a realization that I had of what we would call kind of the stats around the global lost. So in our world today, we have many people who have never heard the gospel. We have many, many people who are in places where they don't know any Christians, and literally they just have no one to tell them about Jesus. And so as God began to impress that on my own heart, you know, I've always had kind of a general heart for the unreached, but really it was the understanding that, I mean, I just give you an example. 42% of the world's population is unreached, meaning they are in people groups around the world that do not have enough Christians, and in many times have no Christians to tell them about the gospel that we take so for granted as Christians ourselves, right? So I began to do a deep dive on, okay, why is it that there are so many that are still unreached in our world? I won't get into the full details of kind of my examination of that, but what I really came up with was, boy, there are just not enough believers of Jesus who have a heart to take this gospel to them, right? So we felt like then God was saying, and Mike, I want you to train up these Christians to be able to reach both their local area and around the world for Christ. And so in that process, actually, I began to make some friends who had a similar heart for the lost. And so this episode of this show is for you guys. It's for those of you who are what I would call ministry professionals and or those who genuinely have a heart for the lost. And so I've been wanting to do this episode for a really long time. And, you know, because of the experience that I've had telling people about all these statistics around the global lost and sort of the very apathetic response that I've gotten, And so then I talk to these other friends and they get kind of this similar, you know, they get these, you know, a lot of these similar responses around the apathy that certainly North American Christians and maybe Christians worldwide have for those that have no access to the gospel. So that may be your agency director like me, like I'm the president and founder at 1-8 Catalyst. I have friends that are also in either a president and or executive director role with these kinds of organizations. This is the those that are doing the research around the global loss. So I've got my buddies at, you know, the Joshua Project, which I really like. Guys like, you know, actually David Joannis in Thailand is actually kind of on both sides of those, of that thing. We've got, you know, the mission pastors that have a real heart for, you know, the global loss and are doing everything they can to, you know, to impact the world for Christ. And so, you know, a lot of us in this category talk a lot about in our ministries about these stats. I mean, there's just such a compelling story around the global lost. It seems to me for the person who has already accepted Christ, right? So there are the stats like there are 47,000 people every day who die never hearing the gospel once. The 86% stat that we talk a lot about, which is that 86% of all Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists around the world do not personally know a Christian, which generally means that then they have no one to tell them about the gospel. There's the 2.1 billion stat, which is if you take up all the unreached people groups around the world and you total up that number, it's 2.1 billion people on earth are either in an unreached or unengaged people group around the world. And so as we've shifted our focus over the last 6 or 7 years in our ministry, I'm talking about these stats all the time. I've got other friends that I know that are telling these stats all the time as well. And, you know, to me, you know, to anyone who has received Christ as their Lord and Savior and believed in his name and have surrendered their lives to Christ, it kind of seems like a no-brainer that, right, that anyone who's in that category would go, oh my gosh, 47,000 people every day, for example, die without ever hearing the gospel. Oh man, that just, you know, at least for me, that breaks my heart. And I would think it would break the heart of anyone who's, you know, received and believed in the name of Jesus. And yet, I just have come to this realization that in general, and I know making some generalizations, in general, North American Christians just don't care about those numbers. They don't care. And that has really caused me some pain, quite frankly, and some anguish that people who have otherwise, you would think, oh yeah, that guy or that gal, they believe in Jesus and they, you know, they are walking with him, would not have a care about any of that. And so this episode, I want to talk to those of you who are like me, who have that same anguish and who have that same pain, right? And for us to kind of gather together and say, yeah, let's kind of look at why North American Christians generally do not care about the global lost. And as ministry professionals and or people who otherwise would be, who do have a heart, because it is true that there are people who have a real heart for the global lost, but, you know, are not actually ministry professionals like I am that do this full time. And so I know that there are people who are like, no, I'm just a lawyer or an architect or whatever, fill in the blank in terms of your profession, but I do have a real heart for this. And so, you know, the story that I often share as it relates to kind of the what I have not understood about this is I have this friend of mine. I'm going to use my friend Steve Shermer as an example, tell a little story. So Steve and I got to know each other back in something like 2016, and he was actually one of the guys that God really used to help me to understand kind of what was happening and to be able to sort of kind of catalyze my thoughts around what God was doing. And so Steve and I continue to, we've got a podcast that we do and or a YouTube show. We do actually kind of both, called the Missions Talk show. It's on Facebook Live. It's a YouTube show and it's a podcast. So you can look it up if you have interest in that. But I was just going to show you guys something. So Silk Road Catalyst actually has a YouTube channel. And so this is actually their YouTube channel. And Steve started doing YouTube videos, I think, because of the pandemic. You know, Steve in his ministry called Silk Road Catalyst. You know, he's on a plane a lot. He's one of these guys that lives in North America, but he's going overseas a lot, and he's got projects and staff overseas and all kinds of things. Well, during the pandemic, of course, none of us could be doing that. And so he started doing these YouTube videos. And so when I see his YouTube videos, I think, man, this is really good content. I mean, he's doing a really, really good job. And my apologies to those of you that are listening to the podcast version of this, but just go and find Silk Road Catalyst on YouTube. And, you know, you can see a lot of these videos are, I mean, it's good content. And I really like his content. It's well done, well scripted. He spent some money on a good camera and good lighting, and he's got all of that figured out. And yet, you see some of these videos, and it's 50 views, it's 60 views. Some of them are in the low hundreds. I think he did have a video that had, you know, 1,000 views, but that's sort of the exception rather than the rule. And quite frankly, I mean, literally, to my understanding, I mean, in my mind, in other words, I do not get why Steve is only getting 40, 50, 60 views. That does not make any sense to me at all, because his content is content that it seems to me that anyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior and believed in his name would want to watch, share, encourage other people to share, right? Post on their social media pages. And so it kind of gets to the heart of, because, you know, I've asked myself the question, not only with the YouTube content that I've created, like this show, and then I've got another personal YouTube channel called Mike is on a Mission, and we're kind of in those same numbers of views and whatnot. Y'all, I just have to admit, that makes no sense to me. Why content like this is getting so few views. And I don't think it's because it's not well done. I mean, just go to his YouTube channel and I mean, I'll show it to you again so that you can see kind of where to go. I think I can just zoom up here. So that's it. There's the link and the address, and go there and watch some of his content if you don't believe me. I mean, it's really good stuff. And so I've kind of struggled with, why is it that guys like Steve are getting so few number of views? I mean, this is really good stuff. And my conclusion, my answer to that simply is, Christians in North America, I mean, they must not care about this at all, or else, because, you know, there are the most ridiculous videos that I see sometimes on YouTube that get, you know, 5 million views. There's one where literally it's just a piece of toast and the toast just falls down. It's like upright and it falls down and it gets, you know, 19 million views. There's a guy that has a duck and he's just filming his duck. I took my duck to McDonald's and I took my duck to, you know, these places, and he's getting millions of views. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me why Steve Shermer and Silk Road Catalyst are getting 25, 40, 50 views. I mean, the only conclusion is that North American Christians just don't care about it. And so I've asked myself the question, why don't they care? Why don't they care about it? And equitable answer that I come up with, I mean, the most fair thing is that it is true, I think, that there is just kind of this matter of most people who are Christians in North America are not called to international missions, right? And so I always have this, often we'll talk about this story about this friend of mine, Tony. And Tony is a guy that if you knew him, he's got a deep heart for discipleship. In fact, he's got a really great podcast that he's involved with another friend of his. And literally they kind of take people step by step through the discipleship process, how to make disciples. He's a pastor, preaches powerful messages. And he told me recently, he's like, you know, Mike, I just don't get up every morning thinking about the 47,000 or the 86% or the 2.1 billion. And nobody that I know in my church or in my sphere of influence in America is talking about it as well. And at least a part of that is that they're just not called to it. Now, I do think that you can not be called to participate yourself in international missions and still have a heart for those around the world who are not ever hearing the gospel in their 60, 70, 80 years of life, and to have a heart toward that and to still be mobilizing people to be doing it right. I think there is a distinction to be made that certainly that you cannot be called, maybe you're not called, but I still think that there's a need for people like that to be actually involved, even if it's only in prayer, right? And I would say for those of you who are not called, there is a message for you too in this episode that, you know, I often mention in my ministry, you know, Jesus teaching in Matthew 24. So in Matthew 24:14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And so this will be proclaimed to all nations. The Greek there is really this word ethnos, which just means people groups. So the gospel needs to be proclaimed, and we need to have a gospel presence in each people groups, which there's still, I think to the last count, something like 13,000 people groups around the world that are still unreached before that end, right? So if you want Jesus to come back, and I think many of us see what's happening around the world and say, boy, it would sure be great for Jesus to come back, right, at some point soon. That, according to that verse, that's not going to happen until we have a gospel presence in all of these people groups. And there's still 42% of the world's population, some 13,000 people groups that are still either unreached or unengaged. So, you know, at least to be praying that God would do the work, and within your church to be doing a little something in that area, right? As I've often said, you know, there are probably 13,000 churches in America that easily could just, okay, we're going to take this one, you guys take that one, and in 10 years that job could be done. And yet those numbers, you know, continue to generally remain the same. And so there is kind of this issue of why, in answering the question why people don't care, some people just aren't called to do it, right? Number two simply is, if people are not sharing the gospel at home, they certainly will not have no heart to do it internationally. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I often mention this statistic from about a year ago, where Lifeway Research did a massive study in North America amongst church members, and they found that while 80% of them believe that there is a call in the Bible for them to be regularly sharing the gospel, 60% of them or so, I think it was 62% of them, have not shared the gospel with anyone over the last year. So obviously, if you're not sharing the gospel with your neighbors or people at your work or people that you just see, people that you live around and that you see regularly, certainly you're not going to have a heart to do it at home. And I always bring out the point, of course, that missionary sending agencies more and more, if you do feel called to go overseas and be a gospel witness overseas, they are actually in the recruiting process that more and more they're actually asking those candidates, okay, tell me a little bit in the interview process, tell me a little bit about what you're doing domestically, right, to share the gospel. Because if you're not sharing the gospel in your hometown, there's nothing about a plane trip that's going to make you some special gospel sharer, right? If you're not doing it at home, then you add the international pressures of different culture, different language, what they do things there differently, things smell differently, you don't know anyone there, or you know very few people there, actually makes it even harder to share the gospel internationally. So you need to be doing it, you know, go develop a gospel witness where you live and then come back once you've done that, right? And then finally, in terms of why I think people just don't care about this as much as probably they should, I do believe that many people in our churches have not allowed the truth of the gospel to travel from their heads to their hearts. And on my personal channel, I did an episode on what I would call cultural Christianity. And I think there are a lot of people in our churches who just, they attend church, they go through the motions, they have, you know, they are faithful attenders, but in terms of the gospel actually transforming their lives, they haven't allowed it to go from, yeah, I know in my head gospel truths, but I haven't really allowed it to hit my heart. And I think that's important for us to sort of understand this whole phenomenon, because yeah, I mean, a lot of what we do with 1A Catalyst is, as we create resources and deliver training, we really are hoping that people allow the gospel to make that transition, because it is once you've really received Christ and you understand what he's done for you on the cross, that then you go from, I don't really feel comfortable sharing the gospel, to, man, I have to tell you what Jesus has done in my life, and you can't help but tell others, right? And so I think that's an important distinction. And so we're hopeful with our ministry that we're helping people to do that, to become people that are like, man, I've got to share because of what Christ has done. And man, I've just been transformed by the gospel, and you need to know about this because I want you to be transformed as well and to have this in your own life. And so I think that's another reason why people just generally, you know, don't care. Now, for those of us who have a heart for the global loss, you know, what does this mean for us? This recognition that North American Christians just do not care about this. I think actually for me, and I hope that this happens for you, recognition of this can actually be pretty freeing, right? I don't have to keep hitting my head against that same brick wall all the time and going, why? What is the deal? Why do people don't care about this? And this recognition that, you know, they just don't care. And they don't care because they're not sharing the gospel at home. So certainly they're not going to be sharing internationally, right? The gospel just hasn't gone from head to heart. And maybe I don't have to beat my head against that wall so much, because I'm telling people about this all the time, people that just don't care about it, right? It actually can be kind of freeing. I think also for us, those of us that have a heart for the global lost, right? I mean, amongst those in our sphere of influence, and what I'm talking about there is people in our churches, people, maybe we have family members that are Christians, at our workplace, we have Christians that we know, you know, and in our ministry, we are hopefully our sphere of influence continues to grow just because we get invitations to speak at different places. And we have those people that we're getting to know and churches that partner with our ministries. Or if you're on staff of the church, you've got the 200, 300, 400, 500,000 people that attend your church. Those would be people in your sphere of influence. And so amongst those people, we can just make sure that they have truly accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if I can get a hold of it, I have something here that might be of help. So in our ministry, one of the resource categories we have is book resources. And I've written a book called What You Do Shows Who You Are, a book on the 6 marks of a disciple. And so this is just a good book to help people have the gospel go from here to here, right? To really receive Christ, to know what that means. And so it's a great resource for Sunday school classes, for community groups. You can take your community group through that and help them kind of really become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And this is important because, as we know from Jesus' teaching, every good tree bears good fruit. And so we're not going to be bearing good fruit unless we do have that heart transformation, right? And so you get people that are really on fire for Jesus. You help them to do that, those people in your sphere, your Christian sphere of influence. And we're going to have more people sharing the gospel domestically. And then, of course, develop a heart internationally. So, and then, you know, this is also important just because, you know, for those watching who have no heart for the global loss, right? I mean, there's a message for you that I'm saying this all the time, but if you're going to be participating in Christian activity, you might as well just go the full way and become someone that where the gospel message has gone from here to here, and begin praying about how God may want to use you to reach the lost. And maybe, again, it's just in a support role. You don't feel called to go to Bangladesh or Indonesia or Kenya or Russia or any of these places, but you can go, man, not only can I partner with some of those people, I can open up my home to receive missionaries as they've come home for leave or for a conference, or, you know, there's just a lot of things you can be doing in addition to prayer. Prayer, of course, being the first thing you can do. So there is a place for you as well. So now, finally, for those of you who are watching this and you have a heart and you're going, yeah, my head actually hurts because I keep banging that my head against that same wall. So a couple of just ideas of how do we continue on, you know, because here's what we know. We're going to advocate for the global lost. It's going to be banging somewhat our head against that same wall. But I think there's a perspective that we can have that'll help. So because God is the one who has given you a heart for the global lost, I would just be an encouragement, hopefully, and tell you to keep at it, because you just never know what God's going to do, right? I often think, you know, at the end of the day, none of us are doing this, talking about this, advocating, involved, going overseas for our own glory, right? I mean, this is, God's called you to it, and so keep at it. And I often think about that passage in that I memorized some years ago, Luke 9:62, where Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so, listen, y'all, you got your hand to the plow. It is when you look back and you go, "No one cares about this. Why am I even doing this?" Right? That you know, Jesus himself says, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow, which you have your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And I know you are fitted for the kingdom of God. And so my encouragement would be, keep at it, right? Number two, because God is the one who's calling you to it, just leave the results to him, right? Because you never know, right? As you pray, as you're involved in your ministry, you never know. I mean, it may be five people a year that you're able to convince towards actively praying for and being involved in reaching the global lost, that because of your influence, God says, yeah, I'm going to start using this person, Mike, through you, or my friend Steve, or my friend David, or Matthew, or, you know, Justin, or gosh, I think about all you guys. You just never know the influence that you can have, that God will use you in the lives of people, right? And so I would just say, because God's calling you to it, just keep at it, because he's going to use you. And it's not all brick walls that we run across. There are people that begin to have a heart. And then finally, as I close out this episode, and as you pray that God would change the hearts of those who hear your message, you know, maybe a deep heart, the deep heart that you have for the global loss, will spur a heart in others as well. So I hope this episode is an encouragement for those of you who have had a heart for the global lost. You know, we all kind of run in the same pack together, and I think it is freeing again to, you know, to just recognize that North American Christians generally don't care about this, but God has called you to do it. And so keep at it. That'd be my encouragement. So again, be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'd love to have you, we'd love to have you involved there. For those of you who want to learn more about 1A Catalyst, go to our website. And then I will just point out, we do have a new online training portal. So for those of you that go, yeah, I have no idea how to share the gospel, we actually have an online video course on equippingdepot.org, where you can learn how to do that. And then as you begin sharing the gospel locally, again, for many people, you know, you'll begin to see how God may want to use you locally, or I mean internationally rather. So you go from local to global. So again, thank you all for joining me. Sure look forward to having you with me on the next episode of the Catalytic Show. Appreciate y'all. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.